days. Aha. He said, Purusham, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Pada, with his lotus feet, Sprisantam, just touching, Kshitim, the ground, Amse, on the shoulder, Unate, raised, Vinyasta, rested, Hasta, of his hand, Agram, the front part, Urangavid Vishaha, of Garuda, the enemy of the snakes. The Supreme Personality of Godhead stood with his lotus feet almost touching the ground, while he rested the front of his hand on the raised shoulder of Garuda, the enemy of the snakes. Maharaj Prithu, wiping the tears from his eyes, tried to look upon the Lord, but it appeared that the king was not fully satisfied by looking at him. Thus, the king offered the following prayers. Purport. The significant point in this verse is that the Lord was standing above the ground, almost touching it. The residents of the upper planetary systems, beginning from Brahma Loka, the planet where Lord Brahma lives, down to Svarga Loka, the heavenly planet of Indra, are so advanced in spiritual life that when they come to visit this or similar other lower planetary systems, they keep their weightlessness. This means that they can stand without touching the ground. Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but because he lives in one of the planetary systems within this universe, he sometimes plays as if one of the demigods of this universe. When he first appeared before Prithu Maharaj, he was not touching the ground of this earth. But when he was fully satisfied with the behavior and character of Maharaj Prithu, he immediately acted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan from Vaikuntha. Out of affection for Prithu Maharaj, he touched the earth. But he rested the front of his hand on the raised shoulder of Garuda, his carrier, as if to prevent himself from falling down, since the Lord is not accustomed to stand on earthly ground. These are all symptoms of his great affection for Prithu Maharaj. Perceiving his fortunate position, Prithu Maharaj could not fully look upon the Lord due to ecstasy, but still, in a faltering voice, he began to offer prayers. Om Agyanatimirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadaha Mahayam Tadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Tangum Langhayate Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bandehi Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. So, the significant point in this verse is that the Lord was standing above the ground, almost touching it. This is an interesting point because as Lord Vishnu, the Lord is present before Maharaj Prithu, but as is mentioned here by Prabhupada, in the mood of one of the demigods. And as Prabhupada points out here, one of the outstanding features of the demigods is that they have mystic powers, obviously. And their presence, even though it's on earth, they're not governed by the same laws of material nature as the rest of the residents of the earth planet. So the striking feature that Prabhupada points out here is that Lord Vishnu, as an associate, if you like, of the demigods, acts as if one of the demigods. Although, as we know, actually he's not one of the demigods. He's the Lord of Vaikuntha. And he's coming before Maharaj Prithu in the association of Lord Indra and the other demigods. So, in the association of the demigods, he acts as if he is one of them. And so this characteristic of weightlessness, right? Floating above the ground. This is a mystic city, mystic potency that they have. And also because their bodies must be constructed of different combination of elements to those who have a very gross material body like us. You know, one of the reasons why I was attracted to being a yogi, because I like this idea of being able to float. It's a very attractive feature. Being able to travel at will wherever you want. So the demigods have these mystic cities that the residents of the earth planet don't have. This distinguishing feature. But then it's interesting. What's more interesting is that when Maharaj Prithu has satisfied the Lord through his prayers and through his devotional service, then the Lord comes down and actually stands on the ground. And Prabhupada mentions here, out of affection for Maharaj Prithu, out of love and affection for Maharaj Prithu, Lord Vishnu, instead of behaving like one of the demigods, floating above the ground, he agrees, or he acts as if he's an associate of Maharaj Prithu, as if he is a friend of his. Agreeing to act like one of the residents of the earth planet. And this is, Prabhupada describes, this is a sign of affection. Demonstrated by the Lord, as Prabhupada mentions here, when he first appeared before Prithu Maharaj, he was not touching the ground. But when he was fully satisfied with the behavior and character of Maharaj Prithu, he immediately acted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan from Vaikuntha. Now you would think that Narayan from Vaikuntha, being superior to the demigods, would do something special. More special than floating in the air. But what does he do? He does something which we would consider to be particularly ordinary, and that is he walks on the earth. Interesting. We would consider walking on the earth being an inferior position to floating above the ground. Yet, Prabhupada says, in his superior position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of Vaikuntha, he agrees to walk on the earth. So this is a display of affection, of love by the Lord. And even though it appears that he's taking on an inferior position by walking on the earth, actually it's described as being a superior position because he's showing his affinity, if you like, his affection for Maharaj Prithu by accepting what might be considered to be an equal position with his devotee. Because Maharaj Prithu is a very special devotee. We've seen in the scenario leading up to this particular situation where the Lord is present in the sacrificial arena, where Maharaj Indra and Maharaj Prithu have been almost at warfare. Prabhupada mentions earlier on that Lord Indra and Maharaj Prithu were both envious and angry with each other. Maharaj Prithu, as the leader of the earth planet, as the Dharma Samstapanataya, he's come to establish religious principles. He was leading the citizenry of the earth planet by performing sacrifice. And the performance of sacrifice is basically what for? To please Lord Vishnu. So he was leading the citizenry by showing an exemplary demonstration of devotion to the Lord by the performance of jagya or sacrifice. Lord Indra has become envious of Maharaj Prithu because Maharaj Prithu was going to perform 100 Ashwamedha jagya. Is it Ashwamedha? Yeah. 100 Ashwamedha jagyas. And that threatened the position of Lord Indra. He was worried about the fact that Maharaj Prithu was going to become stronger than him and take away his position. So he was worried about that. So he stole the horse in the guise of a sannyasi. And I think he did it more than once. He stole the horse a couple of times, right? Or maybe more than a couple of times. It's a long time since I've read this section of the Bhagavatam. But as a result, there was extreme conflict between these two very elevated and extraordinary devotees. Maharaj Prithu and Lord Indra, actually very exalted devotees, yet here they are at complete loggerheads with each other. So we see it sometimes, you know, the devotees sometimes have disagreements. I don't know if you've seen it. You may have witnessed devotees in disagreement with each other. Or you may have even been in disagreement with another devotee. So the conflict was intense. Maharaj Prithu only needed to perform one more jagya and then he would have completed the 100. You know, it's like if you're playing cricket and you've only got one more run to go to get a century. It's a big achievement. There's tension. And just before he's about to hit his last run, Indra stole the horse. And he kept on stealing it. So this frustrated Maharaj Prithu. So as a result, there was a conflict between the two personalities. Lord Vishnu appeared in this situation to help pacify the situation. Krishna doesn't like to see disagreements amongst his devotees, although he understands that it is natural that there will be a difference of opinion. You know, Prabhupada makes the point, you know, we're not all one. We have individuality, and so therefore you may want to do something one way, I may want to do something another way, and as a result then there can sometimes be some difference of opinion, and so therefore as a result conflict arises. The interesting feature of Maharaj Prithu and Lord Indra in this circumstance is that they realized the futility and the stupidity might be a too strong a word, but the folly, they realized the folly of their conflict. So it's interesting. The Lord is praising Maharaj Prithu's good qualities as a devotee, and he's recommending that Maharaj Prithu forgive Lord Indra for his offense, considering that Lord Indra was encouraging irreligious principles. And it was Maharaj Prithu's purpose to uphold and maintain religious principles. So Maharaj Prithu was happy to follow the order of the Lord and forgive Lord Indra. Completely happy to follow that instruction or advice that was given by the Lord. When Lord Indra saw that Maharaj Prithu was forgiving and wasn't attached to performing, you know, the last 100th sacrifice, Lord Indra became embarrassed. He started crying and he went to offer his obeisances to Maharaj Prithu. Before Lord Indra could hit the ground, if you like, Maharaj Prithu picked him up and embraced him. Showing what a great devotee Maharaj Prithu actually was. He wasn't attached to performing his 100th sacrifice, although he would have liked to. But in order to please the Lord and satisfy the Lord's desire that he not perform the 100th sacrifice and thereby upset Lord Indra, Maharaj Prithu was happy to forgive the misbehavior of Lord Indra. When Lord Indra saw the soft hearted, good-natured character of when Lord Indra saw the soft-hearted nature of Maharaj Prithu, then he became embarrassed. He started crying, and so he wanted to offer his respects to Lord Indra, which shows the elevated nature or the elevated character of Maharaj Prithu. He was prepared to forgive Lord Indra. Lord Indra had definitely committed an offence by stealing the horse. But Maharaj Prithu's character was so elevated, he understood it was the Lord's desire that I not perform this sacrifice, so therefore he was happy to give it up and to forgive Lord Indra. And so, as a result of their both being elevated devotees, they embraced and forgot all of their disagreement. Very elevated. Previously, a great conflict, but because Maharaj Prithu's desire as a devotee was to please the Lord, and because by nature a devotee is non-envious, then he was prepared to forgive Lord Indra, even though Lord Indra actually had committed an offence. He was prepared to forgive him. Prabhupada says this is the quality of a brahmana. The most elevated quality of a brahmana is forgiveness. Not to be offended by others, to be, titikshava, tolerant of others' offences. And mentioned in the Bhagavatam, titikshava karunika, tolerant and merciful to others. So when the Lord saw that Maharaj Prithu exhibited this and many other qualities, then he showed his affection for Maharaj Prithu by, instead of hovering above the ground like a demigod, came down to his level as if one, if you like, with Maharaj Prithu as a resident or a denizen of the earthly planet. Because Prabhupada mentions here, but because he was unaccustomed to walking on the ground, ordinarily he's floating with the demigods, because he was unaccustomed, he stood with his hand on Garuda to steady himself. So we can meditate on this. Manifestation of the Lord's affection. Why would the Lord demonstrate his affection by standing on the ground? Maharaj Prithu is a Shaktivesh avatar, empowered personality to establish religious principles. A very dedicated devotee, a jiva empowered with this Shakti of the Lord to re-establish religious principles that have been destroyed previously by Vena. So as a result of his dedication and service to the mission of the Lord, practically speaking, Maharaj Prithu his good qualities as a devotee were so attractive to the Lord that he agreed to appear as if one of the residents of the earthly realm. Of course, we see that in Krishna's pastimes. Paritranaya sadunam vinasaya chaduskritam. Krishna appears in the form of a resident of the land of Braj as a cowherd boy. You know, when Lord Brahma was observing Krishna's behavior in Braj and his childhood pastimes, he was bewildered. He couldn't appreciate how this was the Supreme Lord who he was used to worshipping in Brahmaloka as a thousand-headed form of Vishnu. So when he saw this little boy playing in the forest with his friends, just acting as an ordinary child, eating with his left hand, you know, messing up himself with the prasadam, and just appearing as an ordinary person, this bewildered Lord Brahma. He couldn't appreciate, how could this be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just behaving as an ordinary person? This is not an elevated position, yet we know from the explanations of the Acharyas that actually the Lord's appearing as if an ordinary person is a demonstration of his affection, and especially a demonstration of his affection for his devotees. The Lord appears just to satisfy the desires of the devotees to associate with him. And in this way, he exchanges affection and appreciation and love and satisfaction for his devotees, acting as if on the same level or as on the same platform as them. Of course, even though it appears as if he's acting on the same level, he always remains in the superior position. He always remains transcendental to the effect of the material realm. But in order to show his affection and love for the devotees, he sometimes appears in the same position, or even as in an inferior position, as we see with Krishna in Gokul. We see him depicted as acting as a servant of his father, so he takes on an even inferior position, puts his father's padukas on his head and carries them for his father to put on. So he acts in a position which might be considered inferior, just to demonstrate his love and affection for his devotees. So this is why Prabhupada says that he demonstrated his affection for Maharaj Prithu, being satisfied with his behavior and character, by acting as the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayana from Vaikuntha by stepping on the ground. And this is considered to be a sign of his superiority, not that he's floating above the ground as a demigod, but rather he shows his affection for Maharaj Prithu by standing on the ground, equal with him. So Prabhupada said, these are all of symptoms of his great affection for Prithu Maharaj. And then as a result, Prithu Maharaj, seeing the Lord's affection for him, he's then overwhelmed with love for the Lord, and this precedes what is going to be a section of prayers offered by Maharaj Prithu in appreciation of Lord Vishnu. So I might finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Yes.
Whenever I get in a conflict with another devotee, I always tend to see myself in the position of Maharaj Prithu and the other devotee in the position of Maharaj Indra being envious of me. So maybe you could help with a better example to help me.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe, maybe not. You know, it's always painful to observe conflict amongst the devotees. But we shouldn't be surprised that it happens. We shouldn't be surprised that it happens. We are individuals, and we have our personality. There's an example of Srila Prabhupada giving Bhagavad Gita classes in Delhi. And on one occasion, Prabhupada called a hippie from the crowd to come up and sit on the stage. You may have read this story. And Prabhupada asked him questions. And this hippie was arguing with him. And eventually Prabhupada got so angry with this fellow that the devotees came along and took him off the stage. And this is in front of 20,000 people. And the devotees were bewildered. Why is Prabhupada bringing this hippie up on the stage and then arguing with him in front of... And some people were upset. Some leading, you know, patrons and whatever. And Satsrut Maharaj explains in his analysis of this event that Srila Prabhupada wanted to demonstrate that one can really only know Bhagavad Gita by submissive inquiry. But of course, this was a what would you call it? It was the antithesis of what Prabhupada was hoping to present or meant to present. Perhaps he meant to present it that way, and it was difficult then for people to understand it. The example, right? And Satsrut Maharaj gives the explanation that, you know, a devotee is an individual and he has his personality. And he shows that individuality, especially in this case, sometimes by becoming angry with, you know, this fellow who was obviously not a devotee. It was probably an esoteric example that people couldn't understand readily. But it showed Prabhupada's personality. Huh? So we shouldn't be surprised that when devotees get in a disagreement with each other that they then show their personality. It's not wrong that they do that. Huh? We have our individuality. And sometimes we hold opinions that are strongly felt. And when somebody else counters that opinion, then we might vigorously assert it. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, certainly there's nothing wrong with that so long as we also manifest this quality of character, like Maharaj Prithu, where in the end we come to some conclusion and agree to, you know, resolve our conflict, basically with the understanding that you have your desire, that's to please Krishna, I have my desire, that's to please Krishna. The ultimate purpose for all of our disagreement is to come to the perfection of pleasing Krishna. And so therefore, if we can put aside our own personal opinion and come to some resolution where ultimately what we do is pleasing to Krishna, because that's the purpose, then, you know, our main purpose is achieved. But if we hold on doggedly to, you know, I'm Maharaj Prithu and you're you know, your Lord Indra. We hold doggedly onto our position without coming to a conclusion that ultimately we'll be satisfying to Krishna, because that's the purpose, then, you know, we've missed the point. So the ultimate purpose is, yes, we can manifest and demonstrate our personality or our preference, if you like, which is a manifestation of our personality, and that's fine. That's all well and good. But ultimately we have to remember that the real purpose is to please the Lord, and being eternally in conflict with somebody is not going to be pleasing to Him. So I think, you know, it's okay for us to hold on to this example of Maharaj Prithu and Lord Indra, that's fine, so long as we take it to the logical conclusion, which is at the end, we put aside our personal preferences and we embrace that which ultimately is beneficial for Krishna. That's the real real lesson, if you like. Isn't it? We put aside, and this is it's a very instructive section of the Bhagavatam, this one, for the devotees especially. It's not unusual to have a disagreement. And it's not bad to have disagreements. That will naturally manifest. What is unhealthy is that we take our disagreement to the grave. Because, you know, then next lifetime you'll be on the other side and I'll be on this, you know, your side, and we'll be I know some devotees at the moment who are in a conflict, and the joke amongst some of the devotees is, you know, these devotees are actually meant for each other. They should have been probably husband and wife, because they're always in this fight, conflict. And if they don't give up the conflict in this lifetime, then they'll have to take birth in the next lifetime and keep fighting. Because, you know, they're both meditating on each other. So if you're meditating on each other, then what happens? You just reverse roles. So better to give it up. And that's really the qualification of, or one of the qualifications, at least in this section, that's outstanding about Maharaj Prithu, was his humility and his forgiveness of Lord Indra. Outstanding qualification. Yeah, it doesn't really matter if I, you know, do 100 Ashwamedha's jagas. It doesn't matter.
Out of three types of Vishnu, which Vishnu appeared before Lord Prithu, Maharaj Prithu? There are three kinds of Vishnu, no? Garbha, Dukshai, Karnak, Vishnu.
Three types of Vishnu. Karana Dakashai Vishnu
appeared.
Chira Dakashai Vishnu, Garbha Dakashai Vishnu.
So out of these three, who appeared before Lord Maharaj Prithu?
Yeah, I know what he's saying. I'm just thinking. It's not stated specifically here, but my understanding that this would be the Chiradakashai Vishnu that resides on the Svetadvipa within the material universe. How's that sound? Because he mentions here that he appears as one of the demigods. It's not Mahavishnu, because he's in the Karanajal, right? Lying down. And Garbha Dakashai Vishnu is residing at the bottom of the planetary, you know, in the Garbha Dak Ocean. And Chira Dakashai Vishnu resides on Svetadvipa, and that's what it says here. Okay. Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but because he lives in one of the planetary systems within this universe, he sometimes plays as if one of the demigods of this universe. So that's my punt. That's not a punt. I think that's who it is. Chira Dakashai Vishnu.
And if Lord Indra exhibits the weakness of our common human weaknesses, then why he is called a god?
Well, it's not a weakness.
What we envy, he also envies. Then what is the difference between God and man?
Sorry, what was that last bit?
We are also amenable to get envy and give envy. Mm. And Lord Indra is doing the same thing that we common human people are doing. So we both share the same weakness. Then how he is called a god and we are just men?
But Lord Vishnu didn't get angry.
No, Lord Indra.
Lord Indra, yeah.
Okay. Lord Indra exhibited envy, so we are also doing in our common daily life. Then
what
is the difference between being a demigod and a human?
Oh, okay, gotcha.
We are on the same platform.
Yes, okay. I think this underlines the frailty, if you like, of any living entity who resides in the material creation. Right? Even the demigods. The demigods have a superior facility, if you like, to the humans, in that they can float. They can float above the. But it's a good point that you make. Even though they have a superior position. Intellectually, emotionally, materially even, still they're subject to the defects of material existence, right? Imperfect senses, what are they? Four defects. Make mistakes, subject to illusion. They cheat, right? I don't know if I've got the four covered properly. But even the demigods are subject, because of the power of the influence of the material energy, on occasion, to the same weaknesses as the humans, right? Sorry? Indra? Yep. Yes, yes.
And not he's directly attacking me or trying
yes.
to. So
yes.
even that type of omniscient he doesn't exhibit.
Yeah, it's.
That his intention is not to defeat me or take my position.
Yeah.
So indirectly, Indra came in the way of the benefit of the mankind.
Yeah, Indra was embarrassed. Indra should have been very embarrassed by this pastime. And we can see that he was, because when he saw that Maharaj Prithu was forgiving, then he started crying and he immediately has. See, the thing is, they're both devotees. I think this is a really important point. They're both ultimately devotees. And, you know, they got overwhelmed by the circumstance, by the situation. Even and you know, Arjuna says to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, what is it that impels us, if by force, to perform actions which we know we shouldn't be doing? Huh? So this is not it's something that everybody and even the devotees from time to time can be influenced by. We're just reading a section in the Bhagavatam in Melbourne at the moment, in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, where Lord Brahma was blessed by Lord Vishnu to never be influenced by the material energy. And there's three or four sections in the Bhagavatam quoted where it's said that Lord Brahma, by dint of his pleasing the Lord and by being such an elevated soul, he'll never be subject to illusion. Yet when the four Kumaras appeared with Lord Brahma and inquired from the Kumaras inquired from Lord Brahma one question. I've forgotten the exact nature of the question. Lord Brahma couldn't remember the answer. But what did he do? He didn't speculate and make up an answer. He then meditated internally on the Lord, and then the Hamsa avatar appeared to then enlighten them all. So, you know, in the purport, it mentions that, in one of the purports, it's mentioned that devotees have to be very, very careful not to become proud of their devotional service or their position that they've achieved by dint of their devotional service. Because even though ordinarily one would be protected by the Lord, if one becomes proud of one's devotional service, then one may find the Lord's protection relinquished or given up or not present, not available, if you like. So, we may see from time to time, as a result of the fact that we do have to interact and work with the material energy, and even though they are elevated devotees, Maharaj Indra and Maharaj Prithu, or Lord Indra and Maharaj Prithu, on occasion a devotee may be influenced, albeit temporarily, by the material energy. But because they are devotees, and because their tendency is to again go and surrender to the Lord, ultimately they'll be protected by the Lord. And that's what's happened here. They've made a mistake, they've offered their obeisance, you know, sort of like Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyas Cha, please accept my obeisance, and so therefore then they've been released from that, you know, that confusion, if you like. And you know, that's why Prabhupada wanted us to offer our obeisances to the devotees every day. After Mangalartik in the morning, we offer our obeisances to everybody to get Sikh, you know, sort of like getting a blanket, you know, clearance from everybody. We offer our respects to everybody, offer forgiveness, so that we can at least start the next day with a clean slate. So important to be a forgiving, if you like, because we see that even very elevated personalities like Brahma, Indra, who are great devotees, who perform much more devotional service than any of us could hope to, right? Yet they made a mistake. But ultimately, prepared to put it aside and go back to the main purpose, which is serving the Lord. So don't aspire to be a demigod, right? Don't aspire to be a demigod, aspire to be a devotee. Okay, let's finish here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sorry.